Okay, so Ben Fulford, April 28th, 2010.
Yes, this was a recent interview with Benjamin Fulford on the Jeff Rintz radio program. It was dated the 28th of April, 2010.
Okay, here we go.
I was in China, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, and I talked to a senior source directly linked to the Politburo who was at the meeting where former U.S. Treasury Secretary Paulson and Geithner were literally on their knees begging for money. On their knees.
Yeah.
And this is not something I heard on the internet. I heard from someone who was there. I was in Beijing. Okay?
They were begging.
Senior
we know
official
that.
Said he witnessed this. Okay?
All right.
But the point is that they're not getting the money. And there really is a lot of funky stuff happening behind the scenes. I wish I could talk about it more, but things are a very sensitive stage, and it's not a time to talk. But believe me, there's a lot of high-powered people worldwide working to save the American people from their criminal government. And it's just a matter of time. I'm sure of it. They're still fighting. They're still dragging. But their circle is getting smaller and smaller. They have fewer and fewer allies as time goes on. And you got to remember, the thing is that the rest of the world is doing really great these days, okay? Africa's humming. South America's humming. India, China, 12% growth. Japan, 40% growth in exports. Everywhere except the United States, Southern Europe, and Britain.
Those are the target areas. They're being taken down.
They've been in debt for the past 20 years, and now they're being told they can't borrow anymore. They have to start tightening their belt and working harder, which is a good thing in the long run. But they're kicking and fighting and doing everything they can to avoid reality, but you cannot avoid reality forever.
Yes, the first section, Geithner and Paulson, are they in China begging China for money, Ion?
They were.
Well, what years was that?
Well, that was recently.
So Benjamin Fulford, if he's referring to what you're referring to, he's accurate.
Yeah.
Were they on their knees?
You better believe. And laid out.
Laid out.
Yeah.
And this was in 2010 or 2009?
Oh, no. This would have been late. They've done it a couple of times, but late 2008.
Right, when that whole thing happened in the fall of 2008. And what did China give in?
Nope.
Have they done any more begging in the last year and a half, Geithner and Paulson?
Yep.
And no response?
And many G8 summits have been wrought regarding it.
Yeah, the Western powers discussing the fact that Geithner and Paulson, their representatives, are not getting anything. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is China part of the G8 or G20 meetings? I don't remember.
Not so much.
Not so much. So the G8 meetings is an ongoing panic the last couple of years, trying to figure out a way to get China to loosen up the purse strings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how does Benjamin Fulford know this?
Well, he's been reading
Chris Story.
World Report.
Yeah, Chris Story. Yeah, I was thinking as I was listening to this, Ed, what he had said to me a while ago, that he talks with Chris Story, right? They sound similar.
And it was Leo Wanta with his stolen money from Reagan. Now he got duped over and on and on and on. The sky is blue and it's probably come crashing. It's over. See, you listen to that very long and then it comes into a place where, yes, it's down to where the humans have got to come into the place of power. They got to, or not. But if not, the bots are going to get you. So you better come on and get with it. You got it. You already have it. Non-physical's done everything that they're going to do for you. Everything. It's already done. The only thing that's glitched, the only thing holding things up is you. And as you come into your individual power, then all this stuff just becomes contrast. Well, contrast is wonderful. It's how you make a preference, to prefer. And as you prefer, it's very wonderful, delicious. Then, yes, wonderful. Congratulations. Great. No more money, no more debt, no more trouble. Well, they're already more in debt than there is money. How do you get more in debt than there is money? In tandem. Has no one had crossed their stitches and asked the question, how many dollars is a trillion dollars? $1 trillion?
Okay, so what is China doing while they do not respond to Geithner and Paulson? What is China doing with its money?
Sipping tea.
In Ion, China has loaned the United States vast sums of money. Why are they asking, why are Geithner and Paulson asking for more money?
To survive.
What about all the money they got loaned before?
Well, that went back to China.
You got to pay back.
Well, it's called a gross national product, Bob.
So everything goes to China.
It's kind of like a bad sharecropper story, where I owe my soul to the general store. Working on the haze.
Okay, so all this money, China gets all the money through Maybank, it's registered through Maybank, that's produced here, and that should be enough.
You're making a pretty broad statement there, Bob. What exactly, now you're going to start sounding like some of your conspiracy theories. Tell us exactly what you're talking about so we can be clear.
Good point. Good question. Excellent question. We'd love to go into it.
We love Ed, so let her rip.
China is getting all the money.
That doesn't have anything to do with Maybank. Come on, let's get down to some details. We want some
I didn't know you wanted to go into Maybank. Okay, I thought you were talking about...
That's what you said.
Okay, I'll get into Maybank in a second. Geithner and Paulson, they're sending all the money we make here back to China. And they're asking China to give some back.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't give any back. And China just will continue to suck out, vampirize all the money owed to them that's made here in America.
Now, wait a minute. A vampire doesn't suck out their own blood.
Right, it is there.
That's not a leeching system. That's a reparation system.
Right, so what we have here is Geithner and Paulson are not Chinese, so they're not welcome to be involved with American business, which is run by China.
Pretty much.
That's basically what you're saying. So can any of our listeners who aren't Chinese hope to be allowed in to the Chinese merry-go-round?
Well, certainly. Human creators are powerful.
I used to hear people in New York saying, man, I'm moving to China. It's the only place with jobs. Is that about it? Get yourself ready to go to China?
Who wants a worky job, Bob?
Oh, yeah, that's
everybody. Everybody that we talk to has got a worky job, and they're working themselves to death, and they're in foreclosure, and they got no money, and they can't put gas in their car, and they can't be happy, and they can't get food that has any nutrition, and anything they put in their mouth kills them and gives them cancer, and the government's running against them, and they're getting polyester ready to take over their very being. What's the point?
Right. So if we go into Maybank, you had the World Trade Center up till February 93, registering all the economic transactions around the world. Every dollar went through there.
Now, let's be specific. Those were SWIFT, ABA, wire transfers.
Right. And then it got bombed in February 93. So
they bombed it but couldn't knock it down.
Right. And so as a result of that, these transfer functions were moved to a new bank called Maybank in Kuala Lumpur. So it's been doing what the World Trade Center did up to 93. Since 93, Maybank is the chartered the accountant, the bookkeepers of every dollar that goes.
No, let's be clear. Every single EACH transfer that goes on through any credit card. Anywhere in the world goes through Maybank.
And that process was done through the World Trade Center before 93.
Well, it was limited back in those days.
Yeah.
But yes.
Okay.
You had to contact your bank, issue a wire transfer. The transfer was then, no money was real moved, but they did it with a telex. Remember the days back in a telex?
Yep.
Where they'd fax the money, and then they'd get a fax, and money would be out, and money would be in, and they'd balance it up. And work it out. And sometimes there's a little ahead, and sometimes there's a little behind. but it always worked out. It was just basically an accounting process. Well, now the way ACH transfers work, it's an electronic debit. It doesn't have anything to do with money.
Who owns the institution that does this at Main Bank?
The stockholders.
And what nationalities are the majority of them?
Not the People's Republic of China, but the people of China.
Right.
Do you get how this works, don't you? I mean, is there more that you want detail there?
How do the poor peasants on the in the wilderness of China, are they what you're referring to, Ion? That own this, that are shareholders? Obviously not. So what are the shareholders? Then you start.
What do you mean, obviously not?
Okay, forget I said that. You started off saying what we don't understand, and you didn't finish that sentence.
You think of China as the government of China,
right?
And it's not. The U.S. does not owe money to the government of China.
It owns money. It owes money to individuals.
Individual people of China.
Individual people, yeah, persons.
Well, it's broad. It's big. I mean, it's very, very large. We're not saying that. But what you're presented as China is that it's the People's Republic of China. Well, that's the government. And the government does not have all that power at all. But the people of China, however, do.
And when you say the people, are you referring to the billion or so people in China?
Yeah.
The managers of the Maybank institution there represent the people of China.
That's correct.
And the Chinese...
And that came from the beginning, before Maybank, had to do with Standard Charter.
Right, Standard Charter. You can look that up in Standard Chartered Bank. That was the bank where all of this Fort Hood-related 1933 Federal Reserve notes or bonds, that's the bank that represented the Chinese before, right, Ion? That's the way to say it? Oh, I'm not allowed to say right. Is Standard Chartered represented the people of China through most of the 20th century?
Yes. Now, there you go. Yes, no problem. Very, very good. Very good. And there's been protractions and there's been ebbs and flows, but at the end of the day, that's just the transfer of power has landed there currently. And that's no problem. It's just the way it is.
Landed where?
Maybank.
Oh, okay. So what is it about... So the average laborer in China has a sense of being part of this collective ownership.
That's correct, and they're still saving.
Why are they saving?
That's their nature. They put the equivalent of $5 a week into their collective, all of them.
Oh, it's like a tax. It's like a voluntary tax.
No, it's their participation.
It's a contribution.
It is indeed, but it has nothing to do with the government.
Right, when did that start in the 19th century? Or 2,000 years ago?
Oh, try 6,000 years ago.
So each individual family donates money to some pot?
Each individual person in each individual family.
And where does it go? Do they have a notion of which bank it goes into?
Not necessarily.
Right.
Who didn't say it went into a bank?
Okay, who do they give the money to?
Their collective.
So there's someone going around collecting.
Well, we have some thrifty people in the United States as well. And we have these large pools like the Teachers Retirement Fund and these other pension plans. And those seem to get hijacked. How come the Chinese money wasn't hijacked by the banks or those who were responsible for their money?
Okay, then that goes back to Mr. Watson at IBM when they invented the derivatives and the hedge funds.
That was
where it all got hijacked.
That was in 19.
It's like you speak about the Social Security Trust, that they have all this money held in the Social Security Trust. Good luck.
Yeah, that's in about 1954,
mm-hmm.
when a parallel worlder showed up to Mr. Watson and suggested the hedge fund idea. And he set that up so that we could have the crash of September 2008. Because they saw that would be good for us. A positive effect.
Yeah, lots of people made lots of coinage over it.
Okay. Any more questions?
Well, one more question. You said that Geithner and Paulson were on their knees and laid out. What did you mean by laid out?
On their knees with their head on the dirt, asking.
Why did they think they had to do that? Did Chinese ask them to do that, or they just figured that?
No, they were doing anything they could do, Bob. Anything in the world they could do. Because those boys over in Germany, they're not being so kind with their money due.
Yeah, you mean right today, Germany is...
Right, you better believe it.
Yeah, today it's cracking the European Union.
Well, but that's just because it was all propped up on the dollar.
Right, so the Germans are pulling out right now, today.
Well, they've done it. They've already pulled out. When they started pegging currencies against other currencies, that was always pegged on the U.S. dollar. Well, there is no more being pegged on the U.S. dollar. And when China pulled the yuan and put it into a basket of currencies and it left out the U.S. dollar, that's when you ought to tell you something. That's when people quit dealing in pesos.
Quit dealing in pesos.
Stopped dealing in pesos. Being cheekily about that they consider pesos,
yeah,
as not a valuable or stable currency.
Yeah, the dollar is right now the peso, and that's
exactly right. Well, a Canadian dollar is worth more than a U.S., so that ought to tell you something.
Yeah, so the basket, this Chinese basket of currencies, that happened earlier a few months ago, right?
No, this was like 2007.
Oh, okay. Well, they were talking about a few months ago, and is it not well known that China did this, so now they're floating as an... That was floated as an idea about 4 months ago.
Oh, no, it was instigated sometime. 4 months ago is when they stopped taking dollars for oil, engaging OPEC against dollars. So now they can trade oil in whatever's currency they want to trade in. Because the deal was, from Nixon, was that it had to be, you own the oil well, and we'll own the oil well, and you own the shaft. And so as long as it's coming and what comes out of there, we'll pay you. As long as it's in U.S. dollars, we'll pay you whatever you want.
Okay, so the Geithner and Paulson went over, tried a couple times. They've long given up. Paulson's not, he's down in the Caribbean. He's not doing this anymore, bowing before China. Correct?
That's right. Of course, Bob, but, you know, if you... Okay.
Is anybody representing America and begging to China right now?
They ain't listening. They're not getting an audience anymore.
Right, so that was expressed by Obama nodding, bowing to the Chinese
mm-hmm.
leader the other couple weeks ago.
Which they don't do. U.S. presidents don't bow.
Right, and that was an attempt to get more money?
An attempt to keep them from collecting what they already owe.
All right.
But let me go back, if I can, Ben, please.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota.
Yes.
It looks to me, my sense of it is, that this is another designed attack on a very powerful and profitable corporation by the enemies of success, unless it's their own success. It looks to me like Toyota has been singled out. That's the way it looks over here.
Yeah, but they've only been singled out in the United States. The Japanese government hasn't found any problem with their safety. The Chinese government hasn't.
That's funny. I hadn't heard that. Yeah.
If you look at the details, they say, okay, the new cars, they stop at within 13 feet instead of 12 and a half feet. So let's find them for that, you know.
Got it. Stuff like that.
And I do believe, I mean, my sources here tell me also, they were ordered to put a microchip in their cars that allowed police to override the vehicle. And I believe that's true of American cars, too. And they've been messing with those chips deliberately to try to sabotage that company's reputation in the United States. This is what I'm hearing. Remember, I used to cover the auto industry for Forbes and stuff. So it's not a just a case of a company that used to have a really high quality suddenly going downhill. It's just a case of the Americans being angry at the Japanese because the Japanese have stopped buying U.S. government bonds because they don't want to finance the giant military machine that's impoverished them over the past 30 years. And I have direct sources, okay, in the Japanese military police security establishment who tell me very clearly that they will no longer assassinate Japanese politicians or journalists or, you know, government officials on behalf of the Americans.
Anything interesting in that statement about Toyota being targeted in the United States but not in other countries?
Well, the only reason it is because of Government Motors.
Yeah, so Government Motors went after Toyota. You agree with Fulford there?
They had to.
They had to. So they did.
The government owns it, and they're too big to fail.
The government owns what?
General Motors.
Oh, yeah, no, I know it's Government Motors, right, but they went after Toyota.
Because they were the competition. Who's going to buy an Impala Chevrolet when you could pay less money for a Camry and it actually have better gas mileage, be more comfortable, have all the bells and whistles, have all the goo stuff on it, and go 700,000 miles, or the Chevrolet, if you get 100,000 miles out of it, it's a miracle.
So you don't have, do you have anything more to say about the Toyota situation that Fulford?
No, it's not about the bonds. The Japanese aren't buying U.S. bonds.
He said that.
Yeah, he said that they were being punished because Japan ceased buying U.S. bonds. Well, Japan's never been a big buyer of U.S. bonds. Where Japan got their money was because the nasty Americanos bought their Sony Bravia XBR2s and their every other piece of technology that came supposedly from the U.S. but couldn't afford to be made there, so they sent it back to Japan for them to produce it, and they shipped it back to here, the technology that came from them, that came from us, that got to them to get to us, so we could give lay down money checks to them for their products here. But the yen is not a very stable thing because it's all balanced on. When the U.S. people stop buying the Japanese's things, Japan's done. And you can look at the yen and the difference thereof between the U.S. dollar and the yen. And when it gets too far of a great difference, you can watch for some calamity because it's on its way. Every single time, without fail or exception, you got the yen carry trades, where if you just show up, they'd give you a couple of billion yen to do things to make the economy go, because their inflation has gotten such an outrageous extreme to where a nice dinner costs you 60,000 yen. Well, that's pretty crazy.
Hmm. Any questions, Ed?
And Fulford said that there's a microchip in the Toyota that allows the police to override it. So was this what was used to create these brake failures?
Well, but the only problem is that they don't have the technology. They have the chip, but they don't have the technology to activate it, to use it.
Okay. And so why were these Toyota cars failing in their you know, to stop?
Well, there's only been about 100 documented realities of that. Out of how many million Toyotas?
It's been exaggerated.
No, you think?
Like, it was it filled in after the swine flu failed. swine flu panic.
Oh, no, the pig flu. It flew.
Yeah, what's happening with the swine flu panic? Are they still doing that?
They're trying to revamp it. They've got a new one up in New York State they're trying to practice on to see how it takes.
What's that?
Well, it's just a new form of pigs flying.
Okay. All right, so we'll
got to do something to get rid of all this extra vaccine that they've made.
Yes. Okay. Goldman Sachs, this part.
Well, the other big sign of change, of course, is that they've finally gone after that most sacred of sacred cows, Goldman Sachs. Now, I'm still not completely sure they're really going after them. I worry that they might be doing what they say in Japan is having the lizard shake off its tail. In other words, they have a civil lawsuit instead of a criminal lawsuit.
Right.
And they throw one or two young traders to the wolves and hope they can then get away, you know. And if that happens, then it'll obviously just be a cover-up. But I'm suspecting that once they open this can of worms, there will be no shutting it, and they won't be able to do that. It's things that they're just... The more people find out about how much they've been robbed and conned by Wall Street, the more repercussions are going to be. Because they were doing fraud, pure and simple. There's no other word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, the chickens are coming home to roost. They thought, you know, they got away with it for so long. I guess they got arrogant. They thought they could get away with it forever. And they thought they could do one of their managed economic crises in the United States and set up a fascist world government, but no, it's just not working. That's my take on things.
What do you think of Fulford's assessment of the fate of Goldman Sachs, Ion?
Well, it's why Ed has chicken troubles.
You want to follow that up?
I'm home to roost, Ed.
So... I mean, is Paulson, when he's begging China for money, he wants money for the Goldman Sachs circuits?
No. They're trying to get the Federal Reserve balanced before it just goes belly up. You've already got governors leaving their post, and it's a pretty sweet deal, and you wouldn't want to leave it.
You have governors leaving their posts, and how's that connected to Goldman Sachs?
Nothing. Goldman Sachs doesn't mean anything about anything. The Federal Reserve crumbling is what it's about.
Right. So you're talking about governors of the Federal Reserve leaving the membership.
Yeah, they're just quitting. Sorry. It's sort of like your Mr. Greenspan, the delicious mind of reason that even straightened out Paul Volcker's little conundrums. And he graduated one day, retired on a Sunday, and didn't even get a gold watch, and was going to retire. He's pretty aged, but pretty sharp at his ciphering ability and capacity. He retired one Sunday afternoon, and the next morning, Monday morning, he went to work to run the European Union.
Is he still doing that?
He is indeed.
Okay, so Goldman Sachs is a subset of the collapse of the Federal Reserve, and the Tea Party meme is coming in the fall, and they're going to take advantage of that. Its weakness. They're going to take advantage of its weakness and start a new banking organization.
Well, no, they're just going to get rid of everything that stops this crazy spiral of spending your way, eating your way out of debt.
So Goldman Sachs is gone?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. So what did it mean over the past year that they made a lot of money after the crash, and now they had to go and be interrogated in front of the Senate, but did they make any money? What was the perception? Had they not crashed yet?
Yeah, that's all after. That's all after.
After stuff. It's like who's
well,
looking for someone to blame?
Well, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you place the blame, remember?
Right, so Goldman Sachs, they put out the information that Goldman Sachs over the past year was making a lot of money when everybody else was going down, and they set that up so they could nail Goldman Sachs for someone to blame.
Well, and the same thing, Citigroup and Citibank was toast, and now all of a sudden they're turning big profits. If you're printing the money and processing it as you go, it's not too hard to come make your books balance.
All right. So Citibank, or what'd you say, Citigroup or Citibank?
They're all hooked up. Yeah.
So they're doing okay, but they're being set up for a fall?
Well, they've already crumbled. See, all these super banks aren't working. There's nothing. They can't receive. They've gotten to the place now, if you have a vast sum of money, there's not a bank you can go deposit it in other than maybe three.
Mm.
They can't receive the deposit. They're already upside down. Banks see deposits as liabilities. Now, you, the consumer, you see it as an asset. But for the banker man, it's a liability because he's on the hook for you for that amount of money.
Okay, so Citigroup is temporarily being propped up with nothing so that they can be further blamed? Is that what your point is?
No, they're the golden arches that people are driving by getting their fast food from. That's all.
And why are they able to provide that?
Because they borrowed it. And I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
And I thought you meant Citigroup bought it, or borrowed it?
Right.
Yeah. Who'd they borrow it from?
Anybody standing, and a lot of it from themselves.
Okay. So they're a zombie bank.
Oh, law, yeah.
Okay. We'll continue with Blank Fiend of Goldman Sachs.
Mr. Blankfein said that he felt that there was absolutely no moral obligation on the part of Goldman to be honest with its clients.
Well, that's what happens if you have a conflict of interest, which is what they do. In other words, when they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, they allowed them to once again trade both their money, other people's money, and their own money at the same time. And, of course, they make sure they profit and the other people don't. That's why they separated commercial banking from investment banking in the first place. So when you have a system where you're just tempted...
You want to stop? You want to comment on him?
Well, yes, but you don't have to be very articulate to calculate that. If you're buying wrenches for a dollar... and you're selling wrenches for a quarter, the only way you could make that kind of a system work is to get a whole lot of trucks on the road.
And
they're buying and selling from themselves. So the longs and the shorts, because it all comes through their order process, then it's a simple chip body function to know when a big order's going in that everything's going to go long and you should buy short and vice versa. So you could place your order and place enough shorts to cover it. It really wouldn't make any difference if you were pitching or catching. Mm. You're going to hit the number either way. And
is that what Fulford was saying? You're
what he's trying to say.
I see.
When he talked about a conflict of interest.
Yes. And so he's saying that separation solved it. No, it didn't. All that happened is the investment bank borrows from the commercial bank to cover their shorts and run their margins. So the separation is by making a phone call rather than writing it out of your own account. No difference.
Okay, we'll carry on.
And this whole thing started with Clinton and Greenspan. And again, I don't believe this is an accident. I don't believe this was a cause of, you know, just speculative excess and regulatory mistakes. I still think it was deliberate, planned economic sabotage against the United States of America. They knew exactly what they were doing, and it was a long-term plan. And it was aimed at creating a fascist, that is to say, corporate-controlled,
right,
non-democratic world
mm-hmm.
government.
Correct. Agreed.
They allowed you to have 100 times leverage. Then they pumped up the real estate market. They made hundreds and hundreds of times profits.
They
did all the profits in the Cayman Islands.
Yep.
And then they crashed the market. They were going to buy the whole U.S. up and pennies to the dollar like they've been doing since time immemorial, except that they were stopped this time. And they were stopped because they were using mostly Asian and some Middle Eastern money to do this. And the Asians and the Middle Eastern said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to finance you crazy people. And this is the thing that people still in the rich countries in the U.S. and Europe fail to understand about this crisis. It's not a global financial crisis. It's a rich country crisis. And it's happened because the rest of the world has stopped subsidizing you. That's all it really boils down to. In other words, the Greek crisis is partly because the Chinese and the Japanese and stuff aren't putting money into your military machine. And so suddenly, you have a much smaller pie, and then you start fighting over it. And the Germans, who still work hard and make stuff and save money, say, hey, we're not going to subsidize all these people. And neither the Chinese, which means, and this is true of the Americans too, you're just going to have to work harder and earn less for a while. And that's the reality of the situation you're facing.
Well, of course, the 100 times the money and that kind of stuff, of course, that is. But now with Greece, that has nothing to do with China. That has everything to do with Russia. Greece and all those islands from Santorini to Corfu to all of it, that is Russia-controlled, period.
So Greece owes money to Russia? Is that what you're saying?
Russia owns Greece.
How long has that been?
Well, you want to go back to the Bolsheviks? I mean, it goes way back.
Okay, so, but your point is that China is more involved with America and Russia is more involved with that area.
Of it is that this is another designed attack on a very powerful and profitable corporation by the enemies of success, unless it's their own success. It looks to me like Toyota has been singled out. That's the way it looks over here.
Yeah, but they've only been singled out in the United States. The Japanese government hasn't found any problem with their safety. The Chinese government hasn't.
That's funny. I hadn't heard that. Yeah.
If you look at the details, they say, okay, the new cars, they stop at within 13 feet instead of 12 and a half feet. So let's fine them for that, you know.
Got it.
And I do believe, my sources here tell me also, they were ordered to put a microchip in their cars that allowed police to override the vehicle. And I believe that's true of American cars, too. And they've been messing with those chips deliberately to try to sabotage that company's reputation in the United States. This is what I'm hearing. Remember, I used to cover the auto industry for Forbes and stuff. So it's not just a case of a company that used to have a really high quality suddenly going downhill. It's just a case of the Americans being angry at the Japanese because the Japanese have stopped buying U.S. government bonds because they don't want to finance the giant military machine that's impoverished them over the past 30 years. And I have direct sources, okay, in the Japanese military police security establishment who tell me very clearly that they will no longer assassinate Japanese politicians or journalists or, government officials on behalf of the Americans.
Anything interesting in that statement about Toyota being targeted in the United States but not in other countries?
Well, the only reason it is because of Government Motors.
Yeah, so Government Motors went after Toyota. You agree with Fulford there?
They had to.
They had to. So they did.
The government owns it, and they're too big to fail.
The government owns what?
General Motors.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. It's Government Motors, right? But they went after Toyota.
Because they were the competition. Who's going to buy an Impala Chevrolet when you could pay less money for a Camry and it actually have better gas mileage, be more comfortable, have all the bells and whistles, have all the goo stuff on it, and go 700,000 miles on the Chevrolet? If you get 100,000 miles out of it, it's a miracle.
So you don't have? Do you have anything more to say about the Toyota situation that Fulford?
No, it's not about the bonds. The Japanese aren't buying U.S. bonds.
He said that.
him. He's saying that his labor being punished because Japan ceased buying U.S. bonds. Well, Japan's never been a big buyer of U.S. bonds. Where Japan got their money was because the nasty Americanos bought their Sony Bravia XBR2s and their every other piece of technology that came supposedly from the U.S. but couldn't afford to be made there, so they sent it back to Japan for them to produce it, and then they shipped it back to here, the technology that came from them, that came from us, that got to them to get to us, so we could give lay down money checks to them for their products here. But the yen is not a very stable thing because it's all balanced on. When the U.S. people stop buying the Japanese things, Japan's done. And you can look at the yen and the difference thereof between the U.S. dollar and the yen. And when it gets too far of a great difference, you can watch for some calamity because it's on its way. Every single time, without fail or exception, you got the yen carry trades, where if you just show up, they'd give you a couple of billion yen to do things to make the economy go, because their inflation has gotten such an outrageous extreme to where a nice dinner costs you 60,000 yen. Well, that's pretty crazy.
Any questions, Ed?
And Fulford said that there's a microchip in the Toyota that allows the police to override it. So was this what was used to create these brake failures?
Well, but the only problem is that they don't have the technology. They have the chip, but they don't have the technology to activate it, to use it.
Okay. And so why were these Toyota cars failing in their at the stop?
Well, there's only been about 100 documented realities of that. Out of how many million Toyotas?
It's been exaggerated.
No, you think?
Like, it filled in after the swine flu failed. Swine flu panic.
Oh, no, the pig flu. It flew.
Yeah, what's happening with the swine flu panic? Are they still doing that?
They're trying to revamp it. They've got a new one up in New York State they're trying to practice on to see how it takes.
What's that?
Well, it's just a new form of pigs flying.
Okay. All right, so...
They've got to do something to get rid of all this extra vaccine that they've made.
Yes. Okay, Goldman Sachs, this part.
Well, the other big sign of change, of course, is that they've finally gone after that most sacred of sacred cows, Goldman Sachs. Now, I'm still not completely sure they're really going after them. I worry that they might be doing what they say in Japan is having the lizard shake off his tail. In other words, they have a civil lawsuit instead of a criminal lawsuit.
Right.
And they throw one or two young traders to the wolves and hope they can then get away, you know? And if that happens, then it'll obviously just be a cover-up. But I'm suspecting that once they open this can of worms, there will be no shutting it, and they won't be able to do that. It's things that the more people find out about how much they've been robbed and conned by Wall Street, the more repercussions are going to be. Because they were doing fraud, pure and simple. There's no other word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, finally, the chickens are coming home to roost. They thought, you know, they got away with it for so long. I guess they got arrogant. They thought they could get away with it forever. And they thought they could do one of their managed economic crises in the United States and set up a fascist world government. But no, it's just not working. That's my take on things.
What do you think of Fulford's assessment of the fate of Goldman Sachs, Ion?
Well, it's why Ed has chicken troubles.
You want to follow that up?
I'm home to roost, Ed.
So, I mean, is Paulson, when he's begging China for money, he wants money for the Goldman Sachs circuits?
No. No. They're trying to get the Federal Reserve balanced before it just goes belly up. You've already got governors leaving their post, and it's a pretty sweet deal, and you wouldn't want to leave it.
You have governors leaving their posts, and how's that connected to Goldman Sachs?
Nothing. Goldman Sachs doesn't mean anything about anything. The Federal Reserve crumbling is what it's about.
Right. So you're talking about governors of the Federal Reserve leaving the membership.
Yeah, they're just quitting. Sorry. It's sort of like your Mr. Greenspan, the delicious mind of reason that even straightened out Paul Volcker's little conundrums. And he graduated one day, retired on a Sunday, and didn't even get a gold watch, and was going to retire. He's pretty aged, but pretty sharp at his ciphering ability and capacity. He retired one Sunday afternoon, and the next morning, Monday morning, he went to work to run the European Union.
Is he still doing that?
He is indeed.
Okay, so Goldman Sachs is a subset of the collapse of the Federal Reserve, and the Tea Party meme is coming in the fall, and they're going to take advantage of that. Its weakness. Going to take advantage of its weakness and start a new banking organization.
Well, no, they're just going to get rid of everything that stops this crazy spiral.
Yeah.
Of spending your way, eating your way out of debt.
So Goldman Sachs is gone?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. So what did it mean over the past year that they made a lot of money after the crash? And now they had to go and be interrogated in front of the Senate. But did they make any money? What was the perception? Had they not crashed yet?
Yeah, that's all after. That's all after.
After stuff. It's like who's looking for someone to blame?
Well, it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you place the blame, remember?
Right. So Goldman Sachs, they put out the information that Goldman Sachs over the past year was making a lot of money when everybody else was going down. And they set that up so they could nail Goldman Sachs for someone to blame.
Well, and the same thing, Citigroup and Citibank was toast, and now all of a sudden they're turning big profits. If you're printing the money and processing it as you go, it's not too hard to come make your books balance.
All right, so Citibank, or what'd you say, Citigroup or Citibank?
They're all hooked up. Yeah.
So they're doing okay, but they're being set up for a fall?
Well, they've already crumbled. See, all these super banks aren't working. There's nothing. They can't receive. They've gotten to the place now, if you have a vast sum of money, there's not a bank you can go deposit it in other than maybe three.
Mm.
They can't receive the deposit. They're already upside down. Banks see deposits as liabilities. Now, you, the consumer, you see it as an asset. But for the banker man, it's a liability. Because he's on the hook for you for that amount of money.
Okay, so Citigroup is temporarily being propped up with nothing so that they can be further blamed? Is that what your point is?
No, they're the golden arches that people are driving by getting their fast food from. That's all.
And why are they able to provide that?
Because they borrowed it. And I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
And I thought you meant Citigroup bought it, or borrowed it?
Right.
Yeah. Who'd they borrow it from?
Anybody standing, and a lot of it from themselves.
Okay. So they're a zombie bank.
Oh, law, yeah.
Okay. We'll continue with Blank Fiend of Goldman Sachs.
Mr. Blankfein said that he felt that there was absolutely no moral obligation on the part of Goldman to be honest with its clients.
Well, that's what happens if you have a conflict of interest, which is what they do. In other words, when they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, they allowed them to once again trade both their money, other people's money, and their own money at the same time. And, of course, they make sure they profit and the other people don't. That's why they separated commercial banking from investment banking in the first place. So when you have a system where you're just tempted.
You want to stop? You want to comment on him?
Well, yes, but you don't have to be very articulate to calculate that. If you're buying wrenches for a dollar and you're selling wrenches for a quarter, the only way you could make that kind of a system work is to get a whole lot of trucks on the road.
And
they're buying and selling from themselves. So the longs and the shorts, because it all comes through their order process, then it's a simple chip body function to know when a big order's going in that everything's going to go long and you should buy short, and vice versa. So you could place your order and place enough shorts to cover it. It really wouldn't make any difference if you were pitching or catching. Mm. You're going to hit the number either way. And
is that what Fulford was saying? You're agreeing.
That's what he's trying to say.
I see.
When he talked about a conflict of interest?
Yes. And so he's saying that separation solved it. No, it didn't. All that happened is the investment bank borrows from the commercial bank to cover their shorts and run their margins. So the separation is by making a phone call rather than writing it out of your own account. No difference.
Okay, we'll carry on.
And this whole thing started with Clinton and Greenspan. And again, I don't believe this was an accident. I don't believe this was a cause of, just speculative excess and regulatory mistakes. I still think it was deliberate, planned economic sabotage against the United States of America. They knew exactly what they were doing, and it was a long-term plan. And it was aimed at creating a fascist, that is to say, corporate-controlled,
right,
non-democratic world mm-hmm. government.
Correct. Agreed.
They allowed you to have 100 times leverage. Then they pumped up the real estate market. They made hundreds and hundreds of times profits.
They
did all the profits in the Cayman Islands.
Yep.
And then they crashed the market. They were going to buy the whole U.S. up and pennies to the dollar like they've been doing since time immemorial, except that they were stopped this time. And they were stopped because they were using mostly Asian and some Middle Eastern money to do this, and the Asians and the Middle Eastern said, "Hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to finance you crazy people." And this is the thing that people still in the rich countries in the U.S. and Europe fail to understand about this crisis. It's not a global financial crisis. It's a rich country crisis. And it's happened because the rest of the world has stopped subsidizing you. That's all it really boils down to. In other words, the Greek crisis is partly because the Chinese and the Japanese and stuff aren't putting money into your military machine. And so suddenly, you have a much smaller pie, and then you start fighting over it. And the Germans, who still work hard and make stuff and save money, say, "Hey, we're not going to subsidize all these people." And neither the Chinese, which means, and this is true of the Americans too, you're just going to have to work harder and earn less for a while. And that's the reality of the situation you're facing.
Well, of course, the 100 times the money and that kind of stuff, of course, that is. But now with Greece, that has nothing to do with China. That has everything to do with Russia. Greece and all those islands from Santorini to Corfu to all of it, that is Russia-controlled, period.
So Greece owes money to Russia? Is that what you're saying?
Russia owns Greece.
How long has that been?
Well, you want to go back to the Bolsheviks? I mean, it goes way back.
Okay, so, but your point is that China is more involved with America and Russia is more involved with that area.
Of it is that this is another designed attack on a very powerful and profitable corporation by the enemies of success, unless it's their own success. It looks to me like Toyota has been singled out. That's the way it looks over here.
Yeah, but they've only been singled out in the United States. The Japanese government hasn't found any problem with their safety. The Chinese government hasn't.
That's funny. I hadn't heard that. Yeah.
It's something, it's the, you know, if you look at the details, they say, okay, the new cars, they stop at within 13 feet instead of 12 and a half feet. So let's find them for that, you know.
Got it.
Like that. And I do believe, I mean, my sources here tell me also, they were ordered to put a microchip in their cars that allowed police to override the vehicle. And I believe that's true of American cars, too. And they've been messing with those chips deliberately to try to sabotage that company's reputation in the United States. This is what I'm hearing. Remember, I used to cover the auto industry for Forbes and stuff. So it's not a just a case of a company that used to have a really high quality suddenly going downhill. It's just a case of the Americans being angry at the Japanese because the Japanese have stopped buying U.S. government bonds because they don't want to finance the giant military machine that's impoverished them over the past 30 years. And I have direct sources, okay, in the Japanese military police security establishment who tell me very clearly that they will no longer assassinate Japanese politicians or journalists or, you know, government officials on behalf of the Americans.
Anything interesting in that statement about Toyota being targeted in the United States but not in other countries?
Well, the only reason it is because of Government Motors.
Yeah, so Government Motors went after Toyota. You agree with Fulford there?
They had to.
They had to. So they did.
The government owns it, and they're too big to fail.
The government owns what?
General Motors.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. It's Government Motors, right? But they went after Toyota.
Because they were the competition. Who's going to buy an Impala Chevrolet when you could pay less money for a Camry and it actually have better gas mileage, be more comfortable, have all the bells and whistles, have all the goo stuff on it, and go 700,000 miles on the Chevrolet? If you get 100,000 miles out of it, it's a miracle.
So you don't have, do you have anything more to say about the Toyota situation that Fulford?
No, it's not about the bonds. The Japanese aren't buying U.S. bonds.
He said that.
Yeah, he's saying that they were being punished because Japan ceased buying U.S. bonds. Well, Japan's never been a big buyer of U.S. bonds. Where Japan got their money?